Let's go to Micah.
What page?
Micah chapter 5.
960.
Thank you. 1423.
Do what?
So when I think of Micah, I think of the sheriff on Lucas McCain. That's only the Micah I did before he came here.
What's Lucas McCain?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I watched an old show called The Rifle that was on about 40 years ago.
He didn't really care about it.
Everybody there? Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been.
It's the microwave.
It's done.
It's okay.
Whose goings forth have been from old, even from everlasting. And it's from eternity. Now, this is a prediction. One of the things had to happen that Christ had to have been born in Bethlehem, the Messiah. This is one of probably 200 or 300 scriptures that if Jesus comes back and reign to earth, he would have to prove that this being that ascended or came back was born in Bethlehem. There's no genealogical records that live or still extant. So the whole idea of him trying to show the world that he was Messiah, the only way he could do that would be by doing tricks. And it's really important you see this, otherwise you'll fall for a lot of this theology that's going on. You got it?
That's an interesting, you know, we've talked about this many times, but the historicity and the reality of it is hard to...
Yeah, because it's so, yeah, it's going to blah, blah, blah. All right. Therefore will he give them up until the time that which she travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace. And it goes on and on. The point of it is that I want you to get concentrated in your head. The only that he is does not give peace, he is peace. Now let's go on now to Luke 2. In verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, I mean, just as an aside, this is another, there's no way that shepherds would have been in Bethlehem in December. Bethlehem is 12 miles from Jerusalem. It's up high. So anyway. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be available to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is to come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. Now, again, we studied the other day the translation of the Greek words that are here in verse 14, the glory of God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. First of all, the sentence structure, and even in English, is really screwy. But in the best scholars that I'm aware of, it says the goodwill of God toward men, which is Messiah, is the glory to God and is the only peace on earth. Now, he is peace. You can't have peace of mind without him. Carnality always strives for peace of mind on the basis of either aloneness, which is what I would want. I want to go to live in a cave in the desert. Or on the way of so structuring your life so you have no thing, or you try to structure your life so there's no conflict around you. And that's why so many people, their basis of living is conflict avoidance. And so they sell out constantly in order to have this appearance of peace. They keep below what they're feeling. They never reveal it because they don't want to risk conflict. Now, I'm not going to pick on anybody today. I'm going to move.
Here, let me.
Jesus in the scriptures is called the desired of the nations, or the desired one, or the desired of the people. And the Messiah is called that in many other languages. In Persian, it's called, in Greek, Egyptian, the word was koma, the desired one, or the desired of the nations. All societies have ascribed this desired one in some way or another, and their myths and all have a portion of the truth. In Hebrews, Paul said, in many separate ways, in many separate revelations, a portion of the truth has been revealed to the prophets of all men. But now, the fullness of the truth is revealed only in the Son. Everything else was a portion. So you might find in some harebrained Aquarian gospel or some New Age philosophy a portion of the truth. But it's not, it has no meaning. You might find it in songs or in movies, but it has no meaning. Because it's only then a hope or a goal or an objective or something you want, but it has no manifestation. The whole of the scriptures, from Genesis to Malachi, are the Old Testament are all patterns and parables and types of this desired one of the nations. The four Gospels are the fulfillment of that mystery in Him. The letters are the expression, or lack of it, of that fulfillment in His people. And then the book of Revelation sits over all of time. It's always true. The judgment must first begin at the house of God. Therefore, you have to have experienced, you as the house or the temple of God, and the body as the temple of God, have to have experienced each of the seven plagues that are in the book of Revelation, until finally, for you, the seventh angel stands and says, "The mystery of God is completed. Time shall be no more." Because He then is the fulfillment of the expression in you. Now, you know, it's never going to look like that. It's going to look like all kinds of crap. But you know that you know that you know. And it's tested by, again, no avoidance. You don't leave where you're not wanted. You don't try to get, you just be. When whatever He puts into your life is what the mystery is revealed in. To find out if there's anything that will take you away from that expression. But peace, wherever you are, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Spirit of the Lord is only in Him. Remember, Jesus said, when the Spirit has come, He will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. That's the sin. You can't believe on Him and still retain your own life. It's impossible. You cannot have the right to yourself and believe on Him. They're mutually exclusive. What? All right, let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, I think. I want to show you how many times where it's again the phraseology is used, the God of peace. That doesn't mean the God that gives you peace. It's the God who is peace. And this is why it's so critical that you come to this place where you start out by believing in Him, but you've got to come to the place where you live by the faith of Him. Remember that ancient prayer, O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life. Live thou thy life in me. Do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. I have no life but thee. I have no will but thine. How many times in every day does your will go over? It just takes over. And we have this comic book theology of free will. Oh, I'm worshiping free will. There are only two wills in the universe. The will of God, which is expressed in Jesus Christ and in your abandonment. And the will of Satan, which is expressed and self for self, self-realization. Until you understand that, you might as well just close your ears and go to sleep. Because you will still be worshiping at the altar of free will. You hear that? As I said so often lately, you won't believe in the Trinity, you'll believe in the quartet. All right. Verse 23. Verse 22. It says, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The very God of peace. All right, now let's go to Romans 15.
Hey, one thing I was thinking about that is the position that that puts you in. Ensues such freedom because there's no judgment there. You're not judging other people's activities, behavior, and that because you're only seeing Christ. It's not you just don't get caught up in the self need to be judgmental, look down on people.
Well, we read most of these scriptures in the last couple of days, but let's start in verse 9 because they're referring back to the Old Testament. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall raise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And again, you abound in hope because you're in the sphere of hope. You are in him. His resurrection in you is the only hope that's alive. There's a jillion dead hopes. It's just some fairy tale imagination that does no meaning. In verse 14, and I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain of God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, or translated should be in me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. So again, we have this thing about you. It's not talking about stuff until it's been worked out in you. Remember, Paul didn't write his first letter for 21 years. All right, then go down to verse 30. We'll study all this word by word later, but. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So the God of peace, the God of peace, the God of peace. But peace cannot be separated from Christ. Otherwise, it's just like hope. It's a dead peace. All right. Let's go back to Luke 12. Verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth. And this is the red words, Ronnie. These are the red words. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened till it is accomplished. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? No. No. I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And he said to the people, when you see a cloud, you think that I come to send peace on earth. You see, he's saying, I came not to do anything that's separate from me. You see the connection? What? Well, we just talked about, may the God of peace sanctify you and make you full and whole and joy. And here he said, I came not to send peace on earth, but division. Okay. That's a conflict.
Okay.
And you have to go through that conflict too.
And you have to experience that, admit it, and understand it. Capisce?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to John 14. Nor is it the way of carnality. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So something is going on here about peace that's critical. And this is one of the areas that I said, aha, I can throw the whole damn thing out because there's a conflict. I can go back to
penthouse.
Wherever. But it was, that's why I said, every time I saw a possible conflict in the scriptures, it was hiding a massive revelation. And this is the massive of the massivists. That he did not come to send peace on earth. He came to manifest peace in himself. And you as and it's the kingdom of God does not come by observation, for the kingdom of God is within you. And so this everything is dependent. And until you see this and have a fear of God, you will continue to allow this heresy and paganism continue in you as the temple of God. You will not revenge your disobedience because you're in love with it. It's a manifestation of, oh yeah, I got all these great thoughts and all these sweet things and blah, 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 blah. And they're just pure heresy and rebellion. Because the only religion God sees is what's going on inside of you. And the hate and the variance. And the snideness and the pettiness and the complaints and the, all of the things, oh God, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I wish this would happen. Oh, I wish this were different. Oh. So peace is Him manifested in you under any kind of place, any position, any circumstance that you can be in. And if your cup is easy, drink it with grace or thankfulness. If your cup is difficult, drink it with grace. But it's He has taken you out of the world for His purposes, not for yours, so that you would fit and could be knit together in love to form this mystery of His body and His bride. But as long as you bemoan your condition and, oh, I wish I were somewhere else, I wish I'd do some blah, blah, even, oh, I wish I understood more, or you are at best a pimple on the ass of the whore of Babylon. You must revenge disobedience within you. Don't revenge anybody else's disobedience. That's easy, because that'll give you the feeling of, oh, I'm right.
I did it.
Everybody got an understanding of peace? It's the eye of a hurricane.
That's cool how he puts these two right in the same paragraph. All this peace, which is so wonderful, but then don't be afraid. And don't be troubled. Why would that be in there at the same time?
And it says in the same verse, not as the world giveth. So don't even go looking there. Don't look at all.
Do you see how many of these things we make into romance or sentimentality? You know, peace isn't sentimental.
Positional.
We have all these. Touch your neighbor. Look at somebody and tell them three times you love them.
God's working for you.
Tell Brother Gary that, show him your love by calling him Brother Gary. I've never in my life called Sandra Sister Sandra, because I know she's my sister. The only way you go in this brother and sister crap is because you're trying to create something with sorcery. It's the same thing Copeland does. Your words have power. This isn't about words, it's about position. It's about Jesus. It's about Him.
Well, there's nothing you can say. Words don't exist in eternity.
Especially English words.
Exactly.
Let's go back one scripture and read Isaiah 9. As the coda. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. Unless your sloth gets in the way. He'll use you just like he used the afterbirth. Amen?
Amen.
What, Gary? You're doing it again.
No, I'm just laughing about the... this, what do you say in eternity? You know, there's nothing to say, but I think about the Eastern religions who come up with the hum, the eternal hum. The home. It's the best you can do in the flesh to get some concept of it. But in it, you know, we don't understand what eternity is.
It's no time.
If we try, it's futile because we can't grok it with the equipment we've been given as a grokker.
Well, it's not.
Dana, are you leaving today?
No, I'm leaving tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Okay. All righty, take it, big guy.
Tonight, if y'all are going.
Oh, yeah.